Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It didn't take long.
Brady from the gun. Fires. He's got Brown. They get him involved right away.
That's wide receiver Antonio Brown catching a pass from Tom Brady on his first snap on the field as a New England Patriot. Brown has been the focus of controversy, especially since a former trainer accused him of rape and sexual assault last Tuesday. Joining us now to talk about this story is Sally Jenkins, sports columnist for The Washington Post. Sally, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Chris, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're going to get to Chris and Sally in a second, but we want to hear from you on this as well. What did you make of seeing Antonio Brown playing with the Pats yesterday? How did you feel with that first touchdown? Did you love it or did it bother you as a fan? Were you glad to see Brown out there making plays? Or is there something about it that feels off? And what about Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft? Do they owe fans more than they're giving them in terms of answers? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. All right, so Chris, let's start with you. I've heard there's now a second accusation of sexual misconduct against Antonio Brown. So what's going on?
Yeah, so that comes from a report from Sports Illustrated published today, a pretty thorough investigative report. Talked to supposedly dozens of people who have worked with Brown through the years. It contains a number of incidents that have raised questions about Brown, domestic incidents, a lot of folks who say he has unpaid debts, an allegation of charity auction theft, and as you said, another sexual misconduct complaint, an incident that took place in 2017. I should say that Antonio Brown's lawyer has tweeted out a statement a little less than a half hour ago. Antonio Brown has reviewed the sexual misconduct allegations made by an unnamed artist included in a recently published Sports Illustrated article and denies that he ever engaged in such activities. There will be no further comment at this time.
All right. So the NFL is meeting today with Brown's original accuser, Brittany Taylor. What is the latest on that as of right now?
So no word on that meeting yet, but we do know that the league wants to work quickly on this. I think they assume it's in everyone's best interest to get this behind them, obviously, for ratings' sake. I should say there was an unnamed player in the original lawsuit. Multiple reports, ESPN and others, are reporting that that is fellow wide receiver Marquise Brown, who's actually Antonio Brown's cousin, who was supposedly present for the alleged rape. And reports have come out that neither the Patriots nor the NFL knew that there was this ongoing potential lawsuit in the works. And this now dates supposedly back to last April. There have been multiple meetings between Brown and Brittany Taylor's attorneys. And Antonio Brown allegedly turned down a $2 million settlement to make this go away before he was signed by the Pats.
Okay, Sally Jenkins, you've been writing about this over the last week. What were your reactions to yesterday's game, Antonio Brown's participation in it, how the Pats used Brown? What were your reactions?
My main reaction is that the Patriots are such a notoriously transactional team. I mean, this isn't an organization that's ever particularly cared about outside opinion, and clearly they took a calculated risk that Antonio Brown is going to weather all of this and help them to another Super Bowl.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you want to join the conversation. Let's take a call. Jeff from Plymouth, you're on the line. What would you like to add to the discussion?
Well, I'm glad that Brown paid. With this whole cancel culture that's going on nowadays, I don't think it's fair for him not to play.
How come, Jeff?
Until he gets convicted, innocent until proven guilty.
So, Jeff, let me just ask then. So for you, unless there is an actual conviction, Brown is on the field, he is playing with the Pats, and we are good to go.
I just think there's too much between Kavanaugh, and it just seems way too easy for somebody to throw an allegation out there and ruin somebody's life without actually a conviction or evidence or anything of that nature. I think he should be able to play until, you know, he either gets convicted in the court of law or there's just so much evidence that you can't dispute it.
All right, Jeff.
TCN, I do want to point out a point of clarification there that Brown is not actually facing any criminal charges here. This is a civil lawsuit, so there would not be actually a conviction here. You'd most likely be headed towards some sort of settlement if that's the case. But the Patriots do have a history of allowing players to continue to play while pending charges and pending criminal charges in some cases have played out.
So, Chris, what was your reaction to last night's game?
Well, I was torn. I'm a huge Patriots fan. I have been since I can remember watching games back with my dad on the couch. And what we saw on the field is what we already knew. Antonio Brown is a great receiver. His fellow Patriots receiver, Josh Gordon, talked about that a little bit with reporters after the game last night.
I don't think any of us had any doubts about AB's skill set. You know, I think it was just good. I think for everybody to see it. An actual game, like he continues to be who we expect him to be, and that's a great wide receiver, a good football player, and for us, it's a tremendous asset.
So you can't argue with Brown's talent on the one hand, and some would say whatever it takes to get the job done and to win another title. For me, I know I was really torn yesterday because I was watching my 4-year-old son sitting on the couch next to me, and to see the first pass that Brady throws, he's just learned Brady's name, he calls him the Braid. And then to see it go to Antonio Brown, and I'm thinking in my head, oh, man, do I cheer for this guy, and what kind of message does that send? So it is putting fans in a tough place, I think.
So, Sally, did the team intentionally try to get Brown involved? And if so, you know, how to feel about that?
I don't think so. I think he, you know, look, he's been the best wide receiver by a mile in the league for the last 6 or 7 years. You know, the guy has an uncanny talent for getting open. And as Tom Brady says, you know, his job is to go to the open guy. Tom Brady's not going to sit around and risk alienating Julian Edelman, you know, and Philip Dorsett and Gordon.
These other receivers.
Just to work the ball to Antonio Brown. I mean, you know, Antonio Brown could blow up this locker room. I mean, that's another possibility, is that this thing gets so complicated. You know, the team is going to have a hard time. I you know, if this gets worse, if there are multiple accusers, for instance, you know, it's going to be a he said, she said thing from the civil suit standpoint. But with the Sports Illustrated development this afternoon, there is the possibility that, again, you have more women coming forward, or you have more, you know, anecdotes coming out that are unflattering to, at the very least, and worse potentially. Because this guy has been, you know, unpredictable, a loose cannon.
He's no stranger to controversy.
He's no stranger to controversy. He's no stranger to trouble. He's obviously no stranger to legal troubles. It's never gotten to this point before. But, you know, you just wonder how much more complicated this is going to get for the Patriots. They do an unbelievable job of dealing with incredible fluidity in their personnel anyway, whether it's injury or legal problems. You know, obviously in the last few years, they haven't let either one of those things really derail them very badly. So, but this is strange. This is a very strange situation. It's hard to know what's going on. It's mainly hard to know who this guy is.
Yeah, let's put Chris in here.
Well, I just wanted to disagree with you a little bit there, Sally, because I do think there was a concerted effort. Nobody admitted this post-game, but Antonio Brown's on the field for 24 snaps yesterday. They threw to him 8 times, and he carried the ball once. So he's seeing the ball almost 40% of the time that he's on the field. That is a pretty high number, and I guarantee none of the other Patriots offensive players are up to that percentage.
Let me give you a chance to respond if you want, Sally, and then I'm going to bring some calls in.
You know, I don't particularly agree or disagree. I'd have to see them. You know, one of the reasons they went to him as much as they did could be because, you know, they were pretty sure the Dolphins hadn't prepared for him or could not have prepared for him. You know, and Belichick loves to surprise people.
That would be a Belichick move, definitely.
Yeah, it's an extremely Belichick move to simply do something that's off script or that he knows the other guys haven't prepared for. So, I mean, I wouldn't read too much into it apart from sheer game planning and desire to just sort of throw the other team off.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Anne from Melrose, join the conversation.
Hi, I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm just going to qualify.
Good to know.
I've been distressed about, you know, some things along the way with them. Much more distressed about Robert Kraft's trespasses, et cetera, with the other situation. But
prostitution claim in Florida.
Timing, yeah. The timing of this is really suspect. I think people are talking about Antonio Brown. People should really be looking at this woman who's accusing him, who continued to hang out with him. It just really, you know, the fact that they're not following it and they're not going to prosecute it, apparently, in Pennsylvania. The timing of it is, given that he just left the Steelers and went through the Raiders and ended up with the Patriots, is very suspect. And it was perfectly legit for them to play him. I hope they keep playing him. And these female accusers, you know, and post-Me Too, ladies, were risking Losing legitimacy and credibility if you're just trying to tarnish people's reputations at the drop of a hat.
Thanks for the call, Anne. There's a lot there, and I'm going to add one more voice. We've got Nina from Chelmsford on the line. Nina, please go ahead.
So I'm a criminal defense attorney, and I just want to say that many of the defendants who I see in court lose their jobs right away. Employers let them go just when they're accused, not when they're necessarily convicted yet. And I think sports is on a very different page than the rest of the world, and I'd love to hear your comments.
Thanks for that, Nina. So, Sally, let me just turn to you. We have two calls, two perspectives there. What are your reactions?
Well, I think that NFL teams are dealing with some labor law, first of all, that you have to take into account. They have the Football Players Association has bargained into their labor contract that teams and the league have to follow at least some rules about disciplining players. There has to be at least some fairness. I personally loathe the system. I don't think it's particularly fair. I don't think it's good adjudication. But they are limited. It's difficult to just chuck a guy off a team for no reason at all, partly because of the contract and labor law. So that's one thing that you're looking at. And then the other thing you're looking at is that, you know, you've got a roster of 53 players, and you don't want to set a precedent that you then might have to follow for another player. I think the Patriots, you know, I don't know that I agree with what they did, certainly. But I also think that it's a delicate situation. If they were indeed surprised by this lawsuit, I think there's a rationale for not acting hastily and for doing some more fact-finding before you discipline the player, certainly. Now, whether you should have put him on the field for a game, I mean, that's so Belichickian, you know. That's just who he is. He's got a great weapon on his roster. He's going to use it until he can't. That's just who this organization is.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that. It's important to pay attention to the timing, too. I mentioned that $2 million settlement. The Patriots signed him on Saturday the 7th, and that deadline for that lawsuit was Sunday the 8th. So either the team knew that this was out there, or Drew Rosenhaus, Antonio Brown's agent, did not tell the team, or the team didn't ask about it. I find it very unlikely that the team didn't ask if there were any other pending matters or things that could come out. So that leaves one of the first two situations. Neither one is a great look for everyone involved.
So one of our callers brought up the issue of Robert Kraft and his own, the accusation earlier this year in Florida of soliciting prostitution. That is a much larger story in and of itself. It does raise the question, though, about what the Patriots' responsibilities are given the commitments and history they have specifically with this, with a set of issues around treatment of women, and the NFL with a very bad history around addressing concerns of treatment of women. Shouldn't that at some level, I mean, I'm a huge football fan, but come on, shouldn't that at some level figure into the decision-making here? Chris, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear Sally's thoughts on this idea that Kraft says, if I had known that this was out there, we wouldn't have signed him. He's still the team owner. They could cut him right now. And so I just find that so hypocritical to say, oh, there's no way we would have signed him had we known. Well, now you know, and he's still on the roster.
Sally, what do you think?
Well, I think the owner, you know, and the coach may have two absolutely divergent viewpoints here. That's one possibility.
But Robert Kraft's got to make the final call here, right?
I guess, but you know, he's also dealing with a head coach who he's essentially given Belichick for years now the run of the house. You know, I mean, he simply has. Look, this isn't a franchise that has gone out of its way. I mean, look, Aaron Hernandez was a very troubled player, as we all know. You know, they've had guys come through here, and they've had good experiences and bad. You know, and it's just the deal that Belichick has made, and Robert Kraft risks potentially blowing up his own locker room and blowing up his own coaching staff if he makes a move here that's premature. You know, and I think that was part of the calculus. I don't have any special insight, but I do think that the Patriots were wary of moving too quickly on this. Whether that means you put Antonio Brown on the field this week. You know, those are two separate questions. Do you just cut the guy summarily without more fact-finding? You know, I don't think that would have been the right decision. But do you put him out there and make him a star in a New England Patriots uniform and then run the risk of having multiple more accusations, multiple more unsavory stories, and now you've got a guy in a Patriots uniform who's one of the faces of your franchise. I mean, that's the calculus they did. They took a gamble.
So you've used that word calculus, Sally, and that is something on my mind. Here is Tom Brady responding to reporters after he was asked whether he was conflicted about having Brown on the team.
You know, I don't make any of those decisions, so I just show up and play and do my job.
Chris, that is a calculated, practical answer, but there is a normative dimension to this story. And one of the things that has really struck me is there's not a single normative comment coming from any player. It is just about, good player, I'm just doing one for the team. Is that unusual to have a team with no teammates raising any moral or personal concerns?
You asked when we started talking about this story last week whether the Patriot Way was a real thing, and I said no in the way that the Crafts like to say that the Patriot Way is a thing. This is the Patriot Way. You keep everything in-house. You don't talk to reporters. You don't do anything that could be a distraction that could take away from your performance on the field. And I'm not, unfortunately, surprised that none of the players are willing to engage on the issue.
All right, so Sally Jenkins, in our last 20 seconds or so, where do we go from here? What do we watch for now?
Well, I think you watch for whether there are any more accusers. I think that would be the biggest thing to watch for, because, you know, if you're trying to establish some sense of whether Antonio Brown's really responsible for this here in some way, then I think that would be a huge predictor of potential guilt or innocence, would be another accuser, a repeated pattern of sexual harassment or sexual assault of some kind.
That's Sally Jenkins, sports columnist for The Washington Post. Sally, thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
And Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, stay with us. Coming up, we are going to remember the Cars frontman, Rick Ocasek. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.